Welcome back to the Victory Podcast. I'm your host, Steve McGrath, and in this episode, I'm pleased to bring you my conversation with James Smith Williams. Now, James just wrapped up his last year at NC State where he was a captain, and while he battled through injuries this year, he wasn't able to do as much as he had in the previous years. He was able to get healthy for the Shriners game. He had a great week of practice there, and now he's getting ready to go to the NFL. And regardless of how his NFL career works out, he's accomplished academically, already has an invitation from IBM, which he has accepted when his NFL career is over and done with, but I'm going to let him tell you his story. Now, before we get into it, though, I need to remind you all that we're brought to you by Team Builder. And Team Builder works with over 500 high school football programs nationwide, as well as colleges in the NFL. So if you need any assistance with putting together a workout program, check them out. Show them some love by using the promo code VICTORY when you're there. Now, without any further ado, here's my conversation with James. All right, on the line, I am pleased to be joined by James Smith Williams, the captain from NC State, taking the time. James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. First off, right, this whirlwind of this time of your life where you're ending your collegiate career, doing everything to become a professional. How are you feeling right now? What's going through your mind? How are you handling the whirlwind?
Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. You know, we had the Senior Bowl activities a couple weeks ago. Been training in Exos in Frisco, Texas. So I'm kind of, you know, there's a good routine in place, but obviously, like, I'm excited. I'm over the moon that, like, my goal is right in front of me, but also you're a little bit tired, a little bit worn down from training all day.
I can only imagine, but I hear a lot of guys going to Exos. I feel like everyone I talk to, that's like the spot to go to. So how did you end up deciding to train there?
Yeah, I mean, I sat down with my agency and we kind of talked through it for a little bit. And I know that, you know, the guy, I mean, Brent Colloway is the guy that I know at Exos. And I mean, he's like the speed guru, the combine guru. So I wanted, you know, hop on his train. So that's kind of like why I went down there.
So this time of year, all the work that you're putting in the grind that you're putting yourself through, is it mostly just combine prep? That's sort of how you're training your body right now?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I would say it's kind of focused mostly on the combine drill. So I'm going to work on a change of direction for like three cone agility drill. And then we have the top end speed and the starts for the 40. There's also board work, you know, for the combine interviews. And they're going to ask you what defense, what are you doing here, what's your responsibility? And there's also drills on the field that you're doing the combine as well, and the kind of like things you'll see maybe in private workouts.
Gotcha. Now, of course, for you to get to this point, right, you already played in the East-West Shriners game. Can you just walk us through what that experience was like getting to play in an all-star game? And what were your expectations going in? How did the whole thing jive?
Yeah, no, it was great. I think kind of from the beginning, you know, I was really excited. I got the invite. And I don't know, October, November, maybe, of my senior year. Obviously, you get that. You're over the moon about it. East West Shrine has a great reputation. So I was really excited going down there. And I really didn't know what to expect. And then I get down there. And I mean, the kind of the most awesome part of me was the kids are so involved, the kids that they help with the hospital. So we go into the hospital and we play there for an entire day with the kids. Just also being around them and kind of realizing that, you know, we're here for their benefit is really cool. But to be honest with you, it was like fall camp. And January, like I didn't think that it was going to be like 2.5 hour practices, full pads, you know, in your head, you hear all-star game, you think of the Pro Bowl and like,
yeah, right.
Not what it was at all.
By all accounts, you had a great week leading up to that game in terms of your practice and what you're doing in drills. How important was it to you to have that sort of buzz be generated by your performance?
Yeah. I mean, it was huge because, you know, unfortunately, my senior year, I was kind of nicked up all year. I was kind of, you know, hovering around 70, 65% for games, not feeling like myself. So it was, like, awesome to finally get back out there and feel like yourself again, you know, be 110%, be able to go full speed and give those great looks, you know. So I was really excited to have those good weeks of practice. I think it meant a lot for me.
Yeah, and I wanted to get to that, too. You know, what was it like for you, you know, for a lot of – not necessarily your redshirt junior year – but a lot of your time, and you've been battling this, that, the other thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you just said how great it was to go out there 100% and show what you're capable of. But how do you stay mentally sharp and focused when you're dealing with, you know, missing games here and there for these various different things?
Yeah. So this season, I think the biggest focus for me was kind of on the team. Like, you know, like it's my senior year, I have my own goals to accomplish, but I've been at State for so long. I love that place so much that I kind of look past that stuff and I say, all right, so like, what's the best for my teammates? What's the best for me? like how we're gonna win games, what's the end goal here. For me, I was missing time. I was still in every meeting, you know, I'm still taking notes because I have younger guys behind me. It's not necessarily like a redshirt junior behind me. Those guys are like redshirt sophomores or sometimes true freshmen. And like, you know, Saturday Night Lights and Carter Finley, like the place gets rocking, their eyes get kind of big and they get kind of, well, that's the paw print on the side of the helmet and they kind of get caught in all that stuff. So for me, it was knowing the game plan. So even if I wasn't playing that game, I could still tell these guys, hey, this is what you're supposed to do here. Calm down, take a deep breath. If you have any questions, come to me. That was kind of like the whole focus of the season for me when I wasn't out there.
That's spoken like a true captain, by the way.
No, I appreciate it.
Now, one thing I did want to ask is I saw recently that you signed with Priority Sports and Entertainment. So you assigned yourself to, you know, this group to be your representation. And it's just something that I know nothing about. How does one navigate that space? You know, who are you talking to? How are you doing your research to figure out, you know, what to do there?
Yes, yeah, so I think NC State's a unique place that, you know, we have great personnel when it comes to kind of that next step. So we have a guy named D.D. Hogger, who's our player personnel guy. He lets us meet all the scouts and he kind of talks to every agent and he lets us make our own decisions and how the contract should look. So for me, it was kind of meeting every guy who they DM you, right? They text you somewhere and they say, hey, XYZ, I know XYZ, I represent this person. You kind of filter through and say, all right, I want to meet with these people, and then you have these meetings and they kind of give you the sales pitch and you hear it initially. And I think the biggest thing for me with that Priority did is like I heard the sales pitch. Okay, I got it. And then kind of every week hearing from them, like learning more about them, they learn more about me. And I really love Priority because their number one thing is football. But they made that clear, like we are a football firm. It's football first, football always. And I really respect that, especially someone, you know, cares a lot about the game and the craft of what I do, that they know football and they love football dearly. And that means a lot to me.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, that level of dedication, knowing you're going to get that service, people that understand what you're going through, I'm sure it's going to make a world of a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, of course, for us to have this conversation, right, at one point, like everyone, you're a 16, 17-year-old kid in high school. And if I have this right, you know, you're a three-star recruit out of North Carolina, so out of local Millbrook. So just take us back, man. I mean, I know you're National Honor Society, all academic honor roll. You're a very smart individual.
Right.
How often were you thinking about football being a vehicle for, you know, you to do sort of pave a pathway for you in college and just how did it all come together?
Yeah, so my mom's biggest thing actually always was, you know, you love football, play football, do your thing, but like academics. So like that's kind of like where the ball started and stopped for me. Was I was going to take care of my business off the field. And in terms of schoolwork, you know, like I had the great GPA, I tested really well. But actually, I was going to Columbia for med school before I went to NC. Like that was my second school that I was going to go to Columbia for med school. Yeah. So I tell my mom, you know, I visit NC State, they offer me. And NC State is a great academic institution. Like I love NC State. My time there was, you know, irreplaceable. I got a great degree, it opened doors for me. But, you know, you come home and you say, all right, Mom, I'm not going to Columbia for med school. I want to go to NC State. And it's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's the way she's saying it. But, you know, the recruitment process was really cool. I got to see all the Ivy Leagues and a lot of ACC schools offer me up the East Coast. And I got to travel those places. And I think my situation is more unique. That even though I was a three-star kid, I really more so by a two-star. And those offers came after, like, going to camps and performing in front of the coaches. Like I know Boston College brought me up for like an official visit slash workout deal. And, you know, I worked down from the coaches for like an hour and a half before I got that scholarship offer. And then NC State, I went to like their senior day deal and kind of the same thing. So it was kind of always about earning offers. I mean, I think that kind of gave me a different perspective than guys who come in with like 60 plus offers.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, Columbia is probably not used to being anyone's safety choice, but I mean, that's their problem, not yours.
Right,
what was it about NC State, though? What was it that put you over the edge? Like, you know what? This is where I have to be.
Yeah, I think for me, like a really big thing was that they had a great engineering school. Even though I didn't do engineering to get my degree in it, but like they were a great academic institution in that regard. That's where I started at. I love the coaching staff. Like I thought they were great guys, and like the things they preached like really resonated with me. Like they're all about, you know, you earn what you get here. The blue collar, you're gonna have to work hard. You're gonna have to push yourself, and like that's the deal. You know, I'm all for that. And then, you know, I'm close to home, close to mom. you know, and then I left, but now going to NC State. So it's kind of like this mixture of, you know, academics being close to home and also like big time ACC football. You know, you can play against the best of the best.
Yeah. And I mean, you did, and you did so at a high level. But for you to get to that, you know, 2018, when you have that really big retro junior year, you know, you go through a couple of years of battling some injuries and also just earning your spot on the team.
Right.
Was it, and I mean, you have moments, right, where you have the blocked punt for a touchdown against Notre Dame and everything. But for you to, you know, redshirt your first year there and then sort of, you know, work your way into the system, you know, what's just the, how did you go about doing that and just sort of leveling your game up year after year to get to a point where you can be an impact player?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I slept in the campus, I'm 198 pounds soaking wet. So that's kind of the first thing, is that I was a defensive end in high school, and NC State saying, all right, well, you're less than 200 pounds, you know, you're not sniffing the line of scrimmage right now. So I learned nickel, and I was like the second string nickel for like that entire winter, and I gained like 20 pounds, 25 pounds, and I moved to will linebacker. And then, you know, I played that for like a year or so, and then I'm still figuring out, I'm redshirting, still gaining weight. So then next year I'm probably around like 240. And obviously, it's the Bradley Chubb show, with all respect in the world to him. He's a freak player, right? And I learned a lot from him. So it's his show for 2 years, and I'm kind of in the wings waiting. I mean, I think that goes back to like why I came to NC State, is that they never promised me anything. It was never like, well, you're going to do this right away. It was, you're going to earn what you get. And I think sitting behind him, seeing how he carried himself, the moves he did, and then I live with BJ Hill, you know, I take stuff from Tavia Street, Justin Jones, those guys are all professionals now, and the way they carry themselves back then, I think, helped them get to that point and how they worked on and off the field. So, you know, it took, you know, some perseverance. You know, some days you're like, man, like, you know, like you have teammates you played in high school who are like starting and you're not quite there yet, so you just have to wait your turn. And I think that's kind of the biggest lesson for me, is that, you know, if you're always ready, you have to get ready. So when it was my time to go, I was ready to go.
Hey, but I just feel like today, more so than ever, there's just these kids that just pull the trigger real quick on transferring out. Just, you know what? Not doing this. I got to go elsewhere for my opportunity. Did it ever cross your mind?
No. I mean, like, honestly, it really didn't. Especially because, like, when that stuff, when I was, like, waiting in the wings, it's like the transfer, you sit out of here. It's within the ACC 2 years. And I mean, I really loved NC State. Like, I was really at home, you know. Even if I wasn't making those big impact plays, I was still getting in games and getting snaps in games and playing with special teams and still playing football. And it was never like, all right, my window's closed. So I was totally cool with staying. And it's actually funny you bring that up, because I am on the, I was on like the SAC committee. The ACC one, we discussed that rule for a very long time, and that rule changed. So it's been really interesting to see that actually impacting college football.
Oh, yeah. I think the door is just starting to get open, too. I can only imagine 5 years from now how prevalent it's going to be and what other tweaks they might make to it.
Yeah, I have no idea where it's headed, but I mean, that stuff is just kind of crazy how that's happening. And now the paying players is a big discussion. So it's really all interesting to see.
Oh, yeah. The landscape's going to be very different soon. So you got our, before all the craziness really took off.
No, yeah, for sure. I was definitely lucky to get out of there before it got too out of hand.
And, you know, before we jump to your senior year, how does one go about gaining 20 pounds like each year? What's the diet like for you to get that big? Like, what is it, like 50 pounds, 60 pounds over your time there?
198 to 265, so right around 70. Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was just that hard work and dedication. Like, it was during the workouts, it was on the field, it was eating meals. You know, my mom actually, one summer, she made me 7 meals a day from close to home. So I get those meals at like 6 a.m., eat 7 meals throughout the day, and like give the Tupperware back at night. And that was the routine for that entire summer. It was crazy. I'm drinking protein shakes. The kind of thing was, I was kind of growing and adapting to like lifting weights. So it was kind of never like that 7 meal thing was like not consistent the entire time. Like, the weight started to come on and kind of stick. So I don't have to worry about eating 7 meals, I kind of just grew naturally into my frame.
Awesome. Now, you know, one thing that I didn't mean to jump over when we talked about the Shriners game earlier, but, you know, you were part of this Set the Expectation movement. So you had cleats that you had on for the game. Can you just talk a little bit more about what that is, what it means to you, and do you have any, you know, plans with that?
Yeah, so Brenda Tracy came to us, NC State, maybe 2 years ago now. The time's flying, it's crazy. And she told her story. I mean, people who listen and don't know her, if you don't know it, I mean, it's very impactful. She was a victim of gang rape and like everything that entails. And her whole message to us is that if you're a true man and you're a man, you say that you are, stand up, do the right thing. Like, we are the solution, we're not the problem. Like, that was her big, big message, and that really hit me hard. It's like, all right, I think I'm the man that I say I am. Like, what am I going to do to ensure that this doesn't happen anymore? So I talked to the administration for a long time. I fought long and hard, and we actually had a baseball game. That spring, we raised goods for the local domestic violence shelter. We got, I mean, two or three SUVs stuffed with stuff that our fans brought. We have awesome fans, and they brought out, you know, toiletries, kind of anything you would need if you're someone escaping a domestic violence situation, going to a shelter. So that was incredible. That was amazing. And then Ben and I stayed in contact, stayed in touch. And then that led to us actually having a game with that being one of our things. And we wore the interpersonal violence ribbons on our helmets and on our jerseys. That was also awesome. And I think for me, it's just seeing her cause grow and helping her cause grow. I mean, it just really, you know, pulls my heartstrings. My mom raised me, so I can never just imagine like balancing with a woman in any way. Like, that's something that really kind of sticks with me and hits hard to me. So that was just an amazing opportunity to be able to work with her. And then, you know, obviously we're growing still, and there's some things in the way. And, you know, I dedicate a lot of my time to her cause, and that hasn't changed. So hopefully you see some stuff on Instagram, you know, pretty soon. I can't announce anything too early, but there's definitely some things on the way with her that I'm just so excited about.
That's awesome. And as your profile is going to grow and grow, of course, you know, with the combine, the draft, and being able to be, you know, hopefully, you know, God willing, on an NFL roster next year, you're going to really have the opportunity to continue to help that message get spread. And it's just such a fundamental thing of human decency. How are we treating each other? What are we really doing here that it's going to it obviously resonates with people, and it's only going to continue to grow. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you put up on social.
Of course. I'm sure I'll let you know.
Now, obviously you're a very well-rounded guy with football. Of course, this means a lot to you, the set the expectation movement, but also, you know, we've already talked about the education, right? So you've already done a summer internship with IBM. You have a job waiting for you. And I mean, it's not just like some, you know, business or you know, office job somewhere. It was robotic automation. Can you just speak a little bit about what that experience was like and how you set yourself up for success?
Yeah, so I mean, that was pretty crazy. I had a former teammate who worked there who kind of got me in touch with the manager. Like, we're taking interns, I'll come interview, want to talk to you. So, you know, I interviewed with them, ended up getting the job. I spoke to them after one of my classes, actually really caught their eye. They offered me the internship. I still have a great relationship with them. And it's so funny because I always tell people that, like, when I walked into that building with that internship class, I was like immediately the least smart person there. Like, you know, like that's a little bit unfamiliar coming from the background I came from. But I mean, it was such a humbling experience. Like, I'm working with people who are from, like, you know, Harvard, Yale, Columbia, and then, you know, some people are like valedictorians, and it's just kind of blowing my mind, like hearing all their resumes and their accolades. But it was so awesome working there. But they assigned me to RPA, Robotic Process Automation. It's kind of like I learned how to automate kind of like any computer process in the sense that's repetitive. So, like, let's say every day you go into your email, you open an email from, I don't know, say it's like Nike, right? Like, you're someone who ships out clothes all the time. So you get an email from Nike. It has your order list. You need to get that order list to your boss. It's going to make it into an Excel spreadsheet. And, like, kind of like all these tasks are not hard to do, but, like, eat up time. It's like, okay, I can teach a system your process, and they'll just do it for you. So instead of you having to go open the email, pull the information out, send it somewhere else, then put it into an Excel spreadsheet, I just automate all that stuff. And then that frees up a lot of time so you can spend on things that, you know, computers can't do by themselves.
Sure.
But I've actually worked there 2 summers now. So I went back this summer. Yeah, I went back this last summer. I actually did something completely different. I got into the marketing space a little bit, did a lot with Photoshop, Premiere Pro. I actually made a commercial for them.
No kidding.
Yeah, I made an internal IBM commercial. I made a lot of marketing items for them this summer. So I was also like completely different because, as you know, I'm not a marketing major. So I was like way out of my wheelhouse. I kind of learned how to do it on the fly.
Yeah, right. That's like I said, a very well-rounded individual, man. Someone with a big future, no matter what you're going to put your mind to, I can only imagine.
Yeah, of course. You try it all, something will stick eventually.
That's right. Well, James, thank you so much for taking the time to walk us through it. But before I let you off the hook, I just have this little thing called the gauntlet. I got a couple quick hitter questions for you.
Of course. Let's go for it.
What's most important, man? Is it having the number one offense or the number one defense?
Number one defense.
Now, did you have a pregame ritual that you stuck to?
Yeah, for me, I played the same song every game at least once before that game. Always got taped by the same trainer. And then outside of that, I wasn't too superstitious, but I got taped by the same trainer, played that song, and I was good to go.
You got to tell us the song, though.
Drip or Drown by Gunna.
All right. Now, what's most important? Is it the players or is it the scheme?
I think if your scheme doesn't fit your players, you're in a lot of trouble. So I think I'm going to have to go with players on that one.
I like that. Now, if you were to give props to anyone that you played against, whether it's this past year or, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, is there anyone that you'd give a shout out to as being like, you know what, this guy really gave me trouble out there. I'm sure he's going to be, you know, a big name out there.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, because my first response is always the best player I ever played against is Quentin Nelson, because of course.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well, I just got one last one for you, and I think it's most important considering everything you've already accomplished in your life with big things to come. What's the best piece of advice that you would give to, you know, some high school aged, 15, 16 year old that looks at you and says, hey, how do I get to where you are?
Yeah, I think for me, the sense of urgency was paramount. Like every day when your feet hit the ground, you got to go and you got to keep what you have laid out in front of you. And then you have to go to bed that night, like peacefully knowing that I did everything I could that day to be the best version of myself possible, to put the best product out there.
Simple enough, but I love it. Hits the nail right on the head if you ask me. Well, James, lastly, where can everyone find you on social media?
Yeah, so on Twitter, JACSW3. Same thing for Instagram.
There you have it. James Smith Williams, thank you so much for taking the time, man. I'm sure big things are coming your way, and I'm looking forward to seeing it all unfold.
Of course, man. I appreciate it. You have a good one.
You do.